Shalom to all. Today's office about Mitzvah Daf Ayin Tes, and we are starting about the 11th line with the words Amar Rav, Barav Huna, Amar Rav. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas, Maris Miriam, Sarah, Bas, Rabbi Yaakov, Maisha, her neshama should have an aliyah. Lili Nishmas, Rabbi Chmiel, Mar, Chayim, Rabbi Chaim, his neshama should have an aliyah. And we continue talking about Schiros, that a guy rented something and something went wrong in the middle. Amar Rav, Barav Huna, Amar Rav, Hazakas Chamar, Liker, Valel, a person rented a donkey to ride on it. That's like renting a car nowadays to drive from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, Umesol, Bechatzi Aderech. And the donkey died halfway through. He was by Beit Shemesh and Kerplunk. The car just stopped working. So what happens? The renter has to pay for half of the journey, and he's only allowed to have complaints. The Gemara says, what's the situation? If he's able to rent another donkey where he currently is, what type of complaints is he having? Go rent another donkey and continue your journey. And if he's not able to rent another donkey there and he has to wait for Chaverim to come and help him, he has to pay for half of the journey? How does that make sense? And the answer is, we're talking about a place that he's not able to rent another donkey. It's because the owner can tell the renter, if you had wanted to travel half of the way, if you wanted to get to here where you currently are found, wouldn't you have to pay for that? Of course you would. So that's how much you traveled, and that's how much you have to pay for. But we continue analyzing this. Hey Chidami, what's the situation? If the owner had told the renter, I'm going to give you a donkey, Chamar Stam. So he has to give him another donkey. Even though this one died, he said, I'm going to give you a donkey. And so the owner has to come up with another donkey. And if he had told him, I'm giving you this donkey, and this donkey died, well, it still doesn't mean that it ends here. If we're able to sell this dead donkey and use the proceeds of that sale to buy another one, obviously a cheaper one that's not as good and strong, but still a working donkey that could get him to Bnei Brak, then he should go buy himself another donkey. Why are we saying he stops here in the middle and he has to pay half the money? And the answer is, where even if he sells this dead donkey, there's not enough money to buy a new one. However, we continue asking, what about selling the donkey and using that money to rent another donkey? Not to buy one, but to rent one. And the answer is, we're not going to do that because Rav says, we're now going to completely use up the karen, the principal amount. If we sell the carcass of the dead donkey and use that money to rent another one, well, after the rental is over, that means the owner of the dead and now sold donkey is left with nothing. He doesn't have his dead donkey or his money. And where do we see this? Ditmar was stated, a person rented a donkey and it died halfway through the way. Rav says, if there's enough money to sell the carcass and buy a brand new donkey, he should do that. But he should not sell the dead donkey and use that money to rent another one. Shmuel says, Af liskar, yiskar, he's even allowed to use the money to rent another donkey. But my kamlefki, what's machlekes? So Rav Savar, lemechlin and karno, Shmuel Savar, mechlin and karno. Rav holds that we're not allowed to use up the karen, the principal, the original amount, and Shmuel holds we are allowed to. But now we have a question on Shmuel. Mesa, we have a braisa, and this is talking about mashkanta de surah, which you've learned about previously, a fell borrowed money, and he gives the malve property with the stipulation that he can remain there for a certain amount of years, benefiting from the produce and all, and after that amount of time is up, the land is returned and the debt is considered paid off. So in this braisa, we're talking about where the levy gave the malve a tree, and Yavesha Elon in Niktat. Let's say the tree dried up, and so it's not producing fruit anymore, or it got cut down. Shnei Masurim Boy, both of them are usher to use as wood. They're not allowed to chop it into more pieces and use it as firewood, because that's considered being Mechala, the Karen. Now there's not going to be any Karen anymore. So Kitze Yasa, what should be done? Yilkach Bekarka, that dead tree, the wood, should be sold, and a small piece of property should be purchased, Vuhoichel Peirais, and the Malva who's currently using it, because it's a Mashkoin, he gets to have the Peirais, and then afterwards, the Karen is still here, that's going to go back to the Loive. Well, here's the question. Vahacha over here, Kivin Dechimati Yoivel, once Yoivel comes, Kahadra Arlamara, this new piece of property that was purchased with the sale of the dead tree is going to go back to its original owner, whoever that may be, and the Karen, the principal amount, is now gone because the life is going to be left with nothing. And so we have a brass, so it's clearly not like Rav. The Gemara answer is no. Hachmaiskin, what are we talking about over here? The Zavon Lelishitin Shnin, where he bought it for 60 years. How do we know if the person sells his field for 60 years? Then when Yoivel comes in the middle of the 60 years, it doesn't go back to the original owner? Because the Pasuk says, in regards to the land going back to the owner by Yoivel, that the land is not allowed to be sold for forever. That's what Litzmisos is. The dictionary word to use would be perpetuity, but in our vernacular we would say for forever, meaning you're not allowed to sell your ancestral land, your steachuza, in a way that it's going to be gone for you forever. What's the pasuk referring to? Misha ein sham yoivel nitzmases, ye sham yoivel ein nitzmases. That if there's no yoivel on this piece of property, then it stays by the buyer forever, whereas if there is yoivel, then it doesn't stay by the buyer forever. However, yatzazu, it excludes this case that we were just talking about, sha'af misha ein sham yoivel, even though there's no yoivel ein nitzmases, it's not going to stay by him forever, because even though it's not going to go back by Yoivel, because as we said, the land was sold for 60 years, it's still not going to stay by the buyer forever, because after 60 years, it's going to go back to the owner. Not after 50, but after 60. And that's okay. So we have a case that property is sold and is not going to go back by Yoivel. And that's what we could be referring to over here with this mashkain. However, we continue asking, Sef, at the end of the day, when it hits 60 years, the land is going to go back to the original owner, Vikokali Karno, and that's when the Karen is going to be gone. And nonetheless, the Brisa says that this could be done, so we see that it's okay to Mechala the Karen. The Gemara answers, you're right. What do we we talk about over here, Bizman She'eino Yovel Noeg, it's referring to a time where we don't have Yovel, and therefore the land is sold forever. It's actually logical to say this, if you want to say that we're talking about a time that we do have Yovel, and the land would go back to the original owner, karna, and it means we learn like Shmuel, and not like Rav, that we could be Mechal of the Karen. Well, if that's the case, why don't we just cut up the wood right now and take it? Why does the Brisa say, sell the wood, buy a piece of land with it, and then the Malach could use the land until the end of his Mashkoin? If at the end of the day, this land is going to end up going back to the original owner, that means we're being Mechal of the Karen, so let's just be Mechal of the Karen now, and allow the Malach to take the wood. And since we didn't say that, it must be referring to a time where Yevil is not Noyeg. However, the Gemara says, Yimushum Ho, like Hashav, it's just because of that, that's not a question. There are times that the Mashkin years are over before Yovel comes, and then we would have a situation where the Malva gets to use this property, and then it goes back to the Leiva for a number of years, and only after it was by the Leiva for a number of years, then it's Yovel, and it's going to go back to the original owner. And then it's not considered being Mechal the Karen. Alternatively, we could say, it could be that the Leiva got a hold of money early, paid off the Malva left the property early, and the Leiva is going to be there for 4 or 5 years before Yovel, and once again, that's not a case of being Mechal the Karen, as it wouldn't have a raya from here. And we continue talking about case of Schirus, Tana Rabbanu, we have a braisa, Hasarchas is fino, Vetavala Bechatzi Adarech, a guy rented a boat and it sank halfway through the journey, and that means it sank with his cargo on board. Now we're going to see that this fellow wanted to ship wine from place A to place B. What's the din? Rabbanasan says, Im Nasan lo yitol. If the renter had already paid, so he doesn't get his money back. Vim loy Nasan, but if he did not pay yet, lo yitain son, he doesn't have to pay. Ask the Gemara Hechidam, what's the case? Even if you want to say Besfina Zu Vyain Stam, where the owner had said, I'm renting you this boat, and the renter had said, I want to ship some wine, but he didn't say which wine he was shipping. So im nasan amailo yitol, even if he paid, why doesn't he get refunded? Namely, the renter should tell the owner, havli sfinta, you have to give me that ship that you promised me, danami sina chamra, because I'm going to bring wine. In other words, the renter can keep his part of the deal by getting more wine, but the owner, on the other hand, can't keep his part of the deal because he had said sfina zu, this boat, and the boat sank, and that means he can't provide this boat that he promised, so he should reimburse the renter. Ella, rather, you want to say sfina stami yain zeh, that the owner said, I'm going to give you a boat, and the renter said, I want to transport this wine, and as he was transporting that wine, the boat sank, so he doesn't have that wine anymore. Well, if that's the case, even if he didn't pay yet, why should he not have to pay? Why doesn't the owner tell the renter, you give me that wine that you were going to transport, and I'm going to bring the ship? In other words, the owner is still able to keep his side of the deal by providing different ship, whereas the renter is not able to keep his part of the deal because he had said this wine and that wine is at the bottom of the river. And so why would he not have to pay? So Rav Papa answers, you're right. The only way we can find this case is El Besfina Zu V'Yayin Zeh, where the owner said, I'm giving you this boat, and the renter said, I'm transporting this wine, and both the boat and the wine sank, so both of them are not able to keep their part of the deal, and that's why, if the renter had already paid, he doesn't get his money back, because the owner could say, well, your wine sank, and if the renter had not yet paid, the owner is not able to demand it from him, because the renter could say, you provide me that boat that you promised me, and you can't do that, because the boat sank as well. Aval Besfina Stam V'Yayin Stam, let's say it was the other way around, the owner said, I'm giving you a boat, and the renter said, I just want to transport some wine, so in this case, Chalkin, they split it 50-50, so if he had not paid, he has to pay 50%, and if he paid everything, he gets back 50%. And on to another case, on a guy rented a boat, and he unloaded it halfway through the journey. So let's say he rented it at the Tel Aviv port, and he was going to bring it all the way up to Haifa, but instead he unloaded it in Netanya. He only has to pay for half of the journey, and the owner only has complaints against the renter. What's the case? If you want to say that the owner can still find somebody to rent this boat in Netanya and bring it all the way up to Haifa, so what complaints is he having? He's not losing any money. If he's not able to find anyone to rent it where it currently is, the renter should have to pay for the entire journey because he had said, I'm bringing it up to Haifa, and he only brought it to Netanya, and that's going to cause a loss for the owner, so he should have to pay the remaining amount. So we answer, really, the owner could find somebody to rent it. So why does he have complaints? The answer is, because of the wear and tear of the boat. There's less wear and tear on the boat if it goes from Tel Aviv to Haifa directly, as opposed to stopping off in Netanya, unloading its cargo, and then loading it back on, and that's what the owner's complaints are. Look, you put some more wear and tear on my boat. If that's so, he has a real taino, and he has a real tviya for mamain, because the guy ruined his boat by putting more wear and tear on it. The Gemara says, you're right. So we give a totally different answer. El, or rather, my parka, what does it mean? He unloaded it? The parka latuune begave, he unloaded more merchandise onto the boat. And that was our stipulation originally. The owner said, I'm renting you this boat, and you can put as much stuff on it, and you could travel as far as you want. And originally, the boat was loaded in Tel Aviv with a bunch of cargo, intending to go all the way to Haifa, and he decided to stop midway, and in Netanya, load on more cargo, and then continue on. So Gemara asks, El Mai Tarumas, so what are the complaints? If he's allowed to load on as much cargo as he wants, and he's going to be paying for that, why is the owner complaining? The answer is, Mishum Shinu Daita, because of the change of plans. The owner says, look, I thought you were going to be going straight to Haifa and then coming back, and that would have taken X amount of time. But now that you made this whole stop in Netanya, that's not fair, and it changed my whole plans. Inami, alternatively, you could say Lashal Yisera. The complaints are for more ropes. We're talking over here about traveling in a river, and since there's more cargo loaded on midway through, it has to travel in the middle of the river because it's heavier and we don't want it to get stuck on the side. And because of this, the boat requires longer ropes, which have to be paid for by the owner, but the owner didn't know about this, and now he has to pay the more expensive price for these ropes in the middle of the journey, as opposed to if he would have known about this before, he would have gotten a cheaper price on these ropes in the place where he originally left from, and that's what his complaints are. And we continue with another case. On our bottom, we have a braisa. A person rented a donkey to ride on it. Now there's two people over here. We have the renter and we have the owner of the donkey, which is also called the chamer, the donkey driver, who's with the donkey as well. So the renter could put his clothing on it, his flask, meaning his drink, and all the food that he needs for the entire journey. Anything else he wants to put on, the chamer, the donkey driver, who's the owner, could tell him not to do so. He can prevent him because that's too much weight on the donkey. And the donkey driver could put barley and straw and food for that day, but anything more than that, the renter could say, I don't want you to put on a donkey because that's too much on a donkey, and he's going to go much slower. So what's the case? If along the way they're able to buy food, so the donkey driver should be allowed to prevent the renter from putting all of his food that he needs for the entire journey, because they can just stop along the way at a 24-hour market to buy stuff they need. And if they're not able to buy food along the way, the seicher should not be able to be ma'akev the chamer for putting his stuff on. Why is the seicher able to tell the chamer that you're only allowed to put one day's provisions on, but no more than that? So our papa answers, Lo, there's no problem. The chiddush is the shchiach l'mitrach l'mizben me'avna l'avna, that it is possible to work hard and find food from one inn to the other inn. In other words, at night they are able to find food, but you have to work hard to get it. Chamer darkei l'mitrach l'mizben. It's normal for the donkey driver to go walking around town looking for food to buy, and therefore he's only allowed to put one day's provisions on the donkey. Or seicher lav darkei l'mitrach l'mizben. It's not common for the renter to go around looking for food. That's why he could put the provisions that he needs for the entire journey on the donkey at the offset. And one more case on our bottom, we have a brisa, asarchas chamar liker v'leil ish. If a person rented a donkey with the stipulation that a man is going to be riding it, loiter v'leil isha, a woman is not allowed to ride it. That's because women don't really know how to ride donkeys properly. They don't know how to shift their weight, and there's more wear and tear on the donkey when a woman's on it. So therefore, only a man's allowed to ride. However, isha rech v'leil ish. If the stipulation was that a woman's allowed to ride it, for sure a man's allowed to ride it. And for isha, when the stipulation is that a woman's allowed to ride it, bank dayla bank tana. That's whether she's a large woman or a small woman. Afil mubaris. That's even if she's pregnant. Afil manika. Even if she's nursing a baby. That means there's two people on the donkey, not just one, because the woman and her nursing baby, she's still allowed to be on it, and it's not considered unfair wear and tear on the donkey. Ask the Gemara, Hashta Manika Amrit Mubaris Mibaya. Now that you're saying that a nursing mother is allowed to be on there, and we have two bodies, the woman and her baby, so for sure a pregnant woman's allowed to be on there. It's only one body. Rapapa answers, Mubaris Vihimanika Ka'amar. What we're saying over here is that not only is she pregnant, but she's also nursing, so there's double added weight. It's still not a problem. Now Rabbi Abaye says the following. If you look at this braisa, we had said that even a very large woman is allowed to go on this donkey, and a woman who's pregnant is allowed to go on. Well, why do we have to mention both of them? For a very large woman and a woman who's pregnant are basically the same thing. It seems to be redundant. And based off of this, Abaye says, Shema Amino, we learn from here, Benisa, when a person's at the market buying fish, a karsa tikla, it's weighed based off of its stomach. In other words, the bigger the stomach of the fish, the more it weighs. And it's the same thing by a muberes and a regular woman. Even if a regular woman happens to be very large, a muberes is heavier than her because she has something more in her stomach that the very large woman does not have. Asking Marl Meinaf Kamina, practically what's the difference? The answer is, Lamekach Memker, when it comes to buying and selling, meaning when you want to buy a fish in the marketplace and it has a very large stomach, it looks like a big gazunta fish, don't buy it until they clean out the insides, because you don't want to have to pay for those insides that you're not going to be eating anyway. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with a brand new Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.